The reading this evening comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 through to 14. The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jacob. Bless, welcome. Steve's going to be preaching to us tonight. So let's pray for ourselves and for Steve as we prepare to hear from God's word. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Bible. Lord, we thank you for this sermon series that we've been in, working through the Gospel of Luke, for all that you've been doing in our church community in this series over the past few weeks. Lord, we pray now for our brother Steve. Pray that you would anoint him afresh with your Holy Spirit, that, Lord, you would put power on his message tonight. And pray for myself and for each one of us, that we would have open hearts and minds to hear your voice clearly tonight as you speak a word of challenge and inspiration and comfort to each one of us. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Danny. Good evening. So let me start by asking you a question. If I was to say to you, what is your favourite parable? I wonder what you might answer. Some of you might say, for example, the parable of the Good Samaritan, or maybe the prodigal son, or maybe the parable of the sower. But maybe not many of you would mention this parable. On the face of it, when we read this parable, it would seem that this is a parable about prayer. Two men go up to the temple to pray. But if we think of a parable as a simple story used to illustrate a spiritual lesson, sometimes it's not always clear at face value what it is. So I would like to argue tonight that this parable is actually about something more than just prayer. I actually think it has something to do with what it takes for us to have a relationship with God. What kind of attitude does God find acceptable? How can the worst sinner in history be reconciled to a just and holy God? This parable, I think, gives us a real crystal clear answer. But let's have a look at verse 9 to understand who this parable has been written for. So, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. That's a pretty clear audience. They trusted in their own righteousness. What righteousness means is right standing with God. That they thought highly of themselves, they were confident in themselves before God. Maybe people even around Jesus, as he was saying this parable, were confident of who they were. That perhaps they were depending on themselves, that they were good enough, and by their actions, they were righteous. But in Romans, it tells us that no one is righteous, not even one. The other group of people Jesus talks about is those that look down on others, who they say view with contempt. I would argue that this flows out of the first if people are looking down on others. Contempt means having less inherent value than you do. Less worthy, less valuable. Less inherent value, less worthy, less valuable. So into this background, for those people who trusted their own righteousness, who looked down on others, Jesus tells this parable. And first of all, we are introduced to the Pharisee. Let me tell you why Jesus spoke to us about the Pharisees and giving us an example of why we are so highly respected in our culture. We are extremely highly regarded. We are well educated. We are teachers of the law. We set the standard by which others understand and worship God. And I am so glad that I'm not like these evildoers who are robbers and thieves, who have no knowledge or understanding of God. And regarding fasting, the law teaches that we're to fast once a year, but the really great Pharisees fast twice a week. And we get taught to tithe. Of course we tithe our income, 10%, everybody does that, but the really great Pharisees tithe their spices and even our garden herbs. If for those crowds who were watching and would have heard Jesus talk about this Pharisee, they would have smiled a bit. There would have been a little bit of a kind of a caricature, but you know there's also that little bit of truth in what you hear and what we hear and what they say. But what Jesus is saying, these Pharisees are, if you like, points counting the things that they do to make them good in the eyes of God. And I would say there are probably millions of people in this world who count themselves with the good that they do to be righteous in the eyes of God. They think being good and doing all these things is the right thing. But interestingly, did you hear the language? When the parable is read, God, I thank you that I am not like. Some translations actually say that when Jesus is talking about the Pharisee saying, God, I thank you, that he's actually speaking about himself. That the Pharisee actually sees himself as God. And isn't it interesting when we think we have the answers, doctrine, law, reputation, success, stuff, we actually feel we have no need for God. And then in the passage, we are introduced to the tax collector. Tax collector is talked of as being standing to one side, just off, not close to the temple, not close to the entrance. You see, in that culture, tax collectors were despised. They were perceived as the lowest of the low. The job they had of collecting taxes, as a Jew themselves, they would collect taxes from other Jews. They were charged more on top. And they became extremely rich, but they were hated and despised by their fellow Jews. So many tax collectors spent their time with Gentiles, And in that culture, if you spent your time with the Gentiles who were unclean, you became unclean yourself. So this tax collector that Jesus talks about is standing there, and he beats his chest. And beating of your chest was a sense of humility. And it says he's not even able to lift his eyes up to a holy God. It's almost as if Jesus is saying, this tax collector says, I am the lowest of the low. You don't need to tell me, I know it in myself. They don't hate me enough. The life I've led and the life and the things I've done. And he has no great words. And he has no amazing liturgy. He just says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I have nothing else to try. I cry out to you, God, in mercy. We have to realize something in that culture, that it would have been a really big thing for the tax collector to speak like that. To ask in faith for forgiveness. He was a sinner and he knew it. He didn't deserve anything from God. And all he could do was throw himself on God in mercy. He poured out his heart in honesty and humility and hoped that God would give him mercy. The Pharisee. The tax collector. I was thinking to myself, who do I more readily relate to? I'd like to think it was the tax collector. But I think the scary thing for me is that actually I am much more like the Pharisee than I would care to admit. I'm in training to be a vicar. Yet I find myself saying, I thank God that I'm not like those middle lane drivers. I thank God that I don't drive an old rusty car. I thank God that I live in a good-sized house. I thank God that I study hard and I have money. I thank God that I'm not like those people on the housing estate. I thank God I'm not like that homeless person. I fast occasionally. I've been to church twice today. And I think actually I read my Bible quite regularly. I thank God I'm not like those people who don't come to church. I don't know, is it me? I don't know if I'm the only one. All the tax collector says is, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And in this phrase has been turned into what people call the Jesus Prayer. It's an Eastern Orthodox Christian phrase, and they've added a few bits to it over the centuries. It says, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Rowan Williams, who was the Archbishop of Canterbury, said this about this prayer, that it talks in terms of helping him fill the faith-shaped hole in modern life, to awaken the heart to the presence of God, and it's a summary of the whole gospel. It starts, Lord Jesus Christ. The name that saves, the name that is above every other name in heaven and under the earth. The focus is on God, not on you or me. It includes the request for mercy. It reminds us about who we are, that we're not reliant or focused on ourselves or our righteousness, but our daily need to come to God in humility. We're in the middle of Lent, and there's no better time, because we're encouraged to reflect on our own sinfulness, to express sorrow, and to remind us that Jesus brings freedom from sin. So what I'd like us to do is just for a moment have the words on the screen and just take a moment to read those words slowly and say, God, what do you want to say to me? Let's just do that quietly for a moment. The rest of our parable then explains what Jesus does with contrasting the Pharisee and the tax collector. That who is it that goes away justified? Justified means declared innocent before God, not by our own merit or righteousness, not based on the amount of points we accumulate or the words we say or the actions, but based on our heart, attitude, our humility before God. It was not the Pharisee, but the tax collector, who went home not having his prayers answered, but going home forgiven, having received the love and acceptance of a God who loves him and gave him mercy. I wonder what impact that would have had on the Pharisee. I wonder what impact it would have had on the adulterers, the thieves, the tax collectors who would have been present. That they too can be forgiven. That they too can be made right with God. There was hope for them, and there's hope for us. You see, Jesus on the cross was regarded with contempt. Jesus was treated as if he were the sinner in our place. Because of his death on the cross, like the tax collector, we can go home justified and assured that we have been forgiven and accepted by God and in a right relationship with him when we come to him in humility. And no matter how deep your need or how dark your sin, it is not greater than the overflowing mercy of God. What I'd like to do to end is to play a clip from a film called The Bible. And then we'll have a bit of quiet to think about that before the band comes up to play. So, the video clip.
Next. At all?
Next.
Hold!